I'm going to preach tonight on the subject, Turn the World Upside Down. It said about Paul and Silas, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. You ever stop to think that we live in a world that is sort of strange? I just want to give you some examples. You ever stop and think about why there are handicapped parking spaces at skating rinks? Huh? Isn't that kind of weird? Do you ever think about drug stores? Where are all the drugs? In the back. They make all the sick people get out and walk all the way to the store in the back to get their medicine. Seems backwards. I mean, they ought to have the drugs up front. I mean, so the sick people don't have to walk so far. Do you ever think about this? You go into a bank. The doors are wide open, and yet they got the pins chained to the counter. Huh? Isn't that weird? I mean, it's weird. And then this. We have answering machines so that we can screen our calls so that we don't have to talk to the people that we don't want to talk to. And yet, we have call waiting so we don't miss the calls of the people that we don't want to talk to. I mean, there's something backwards. And do you ever think about this? This always bugs me. Why do they sell hot dogs in packages of 8 and hot dog buns in packages of 10? Now, why do they do that? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You ought to make them 8 and 8 or 10 and 10. You either got, if you buy 2 packs of hot dogs, you got 6 left over. If you buy a pack of buns and 1 pack of hot dogs, you got 2 buns left over. So there's some backward things in this world. Now, Paul and Silas had come to Thessalonica. Their reputation had preceded them. Wherever they went, things changed. People got saved. People started living for God. Sick people got healed. Dead people were raised. Idols were torn down. They burned books. And they put the people that were in the sacrifice-making business out of business. Because they said, no, this is the way it used to be. It's not this way anymore. We don't need the sacrifices anymore. You're not supposed to worship the idols anymore. We have a true and living God who was the final and complete sacrifice. Everywhere they went, the establishment was upset. Those that profited from idol worship, those that ran the temple and promoted the old Jewish system, they got mad because their way of life was turned upside down. Their way of making a living was turned upside down. Their position was turned upside down. The power that they had was turned upside down. And so when they came into Thessalonica, when they came into the city, they were arrested. I mean, they didn't even get to do anything. They were arrested. A crowd brought them to the rulers, and here's what they said. The guys that change things everywhere they go are here. The guys that disrupt the establishment everywhere they go are here. The guys that turn the world upside down everywhere they go are here. And I would submit to you tonight that that ought to be the testimony of every Christian and of every church. They ought to say when they see us coming, here comes those Christians, here comes those church people. Every place they go, things change. People get saved, they start living for Jesus, they start serving Jesus. People stop drinking, they stop partying, they quit smoking, they quit cussing, and things change because these church people, these Christians, come and they turn things upside down. Nothing will ever be the same. Everything will be different. The world will be turned upside down. And again, that ought to be the testimony. When they see us coming, when they see us reaching out as a church, they ought to say, there ain't nothing going to be the same anymore because there's a people that cares about the souls of others and are going to do what's necessary to tell them about Jesus Christ, how to get saved, and encourage them to live for God. What a testimony. Ought to be our testimony. Now tonight, I want to make three simple points. Number one, the world is upside down already. The world is not the way that God made it. The world is not the way that God designed it. The world is not the way that God intended for it to be. And I'm just going to give you some examples tonight, quick examples. God did not intend for homosexuality to be an alternate lifestyle. He did not create man for man or woman for woman. He created man for woman. In the Garden of Eden, it was not Adam and Steve, it was Adam and Eve. And that's the way God intended it to be. In Romans chapter 1, you go back and you read Romans chapter 1, and there is a condemnation by God for homosexuals. And it says in that chapter, they have left the natural way. They have left the way that God intended it to be. And homosexuality, let me just say it, is a sin. It's still an abomination to God. It doesn't matter what the courts say. It doesn't matter what certain businesses say. It doesn't matter what the world opinion says. It is still an abomination to God. It is not the way God intended for it to be. Second example. And I don't know what the current number is. I read in a magazine 2 or 3 weeks ago that in the United States it was over 65%. I'm talking about the divorce rate. 65% of everybody that gets married ends up getting divorced. God did not make marriage for us to get married, stay together for a little bit, then divorce. The Bible says that when we agree to get married, when we stand and make those vows, that God's design for that relationship as husband and wife is for a lifetime. Not a couple of days like some of the movie stars, not a couple of months, not a couple of years, not a couple of decades, but forever. And by the way, it is not God's plan for you to live together before you get married. Not, hey, we're going to try each other out, and if it doesn't work, then we won't get married. God calls that fornication, and it is a sin. And yet, if you put the divorce rate with the rate of those that are living together, the majority of people are either going to live together before they get married, or they're going to get divorced after they get married. The world is upside down because God did not intend it to be that way. Now again, you say, preacher, are you mad at somebody tonight? No, I'm not mad at anybody tonight. I know some of you here tonight have suffered divorce. And I cannot go back and undo what's happened in your past. I can work on the marriage that you're in. And that's what I want to do. And I want to remind you tonight that you made a holy vow to God to stay together forever. Another example. We kill over 1.5 million babies every year in the United States of America. I don't know what the number is worldwide. Probably over 5 million. And we try to dress it up. And we call it a mother's choice. And we call it all sorts of things. But God calls it murder. Let's just say it the way it is. God calls it murder. God intended for children to be a blessing. You listen to me. He intended for children to be a blessing. The Bible says that you have children. It's a sign that you're blessed of God. It's not an inconvenience. It's not something that once you get into it, you can decide to get out of it. We as parents are instructed to love our children and bring them up in the Lord, not murder them before they take their first breath. And by the way, let me just get off on a side note here. And I'll be honest. I say it again. I'll be honest with you. I'm always honest with you. I'll just tell you tonight, I almost lose my Christian love for other people for child abusers. I do not understand how adults can do what they do to children. I do not understand that. I just do not understand it. And if it was left up to me, those that were found guilty of child abuse, we just take them out and string them up and be done with them. You say, preacher, that's not very Christian. I know. I'm working on myself. I'm praying. I just want you to know where I am. The world is upside down. The Bible says, love your children. The world is upside down. There's hate that fills the world. Jews hate the Arabs, and the Arabs hate the Jews. The Protestants hate the Catholics in some parts of the world, and the Catholics hate the Protestants. The Muslims hate the Christians. The rich hate the poor, and the poor hate the rich. The black hate the white, and the white hate the black. The developed nations of the world hate the undeveloped, and vice versa. And so there's war everywhere. There's people fighting everywhere. There's people that don't get along everywhere. How does it fit in with the second greatest commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. The world is upside down already. Our relationship with God. God did not make us to face this world alone. He did not make us to face the trials of life alone. We were not made to die with no hope. We were not made to face death alone. We were made to fellowship with our Creator God. We were made to talk and to walk with Him, to bathe in His love, to make it with His comfort, to live in His strength, to die in His hope. And if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, you are living your life in a way that God never intended for it to be. He intended for you to be part of the family. He intended you to be saved. He intended you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you're living apart from Christ, if you're living having rejected Christ, you're living your life in a way that's upside down in the way that God made it. So my second point is this. If the world's already upside down, and we're to be like Paul and Silas, those that turned the world upside down are here, you know what we're doing? We're just taking the world that's upside down and we're turning it back the way that God intended for it to be. Are you with me? If you're with me, shake your head. Okay. I mean, if the world is upside down already, and then those of us that are Christians ought to have the testimony to turn the world upside down, we're just turning it back the way it's supposed to be. To get it back the way that God wanted it to be. And so, let's tell the homosexuals that we're not going to recognize your right as a class to not be discriminated against. We're not going to pass laws to recognize your relationship. We're not going to let you adopt children. We're not going to pay benefits to a partner just because somebody else is. I told you, when General Motors offered benefits to same-sex partners, I got so upset I wrote a letter to the chairman of the board. I said, I think this is wrong. I think this is sin. I think God is going to remove, if he's had his hand and blessed us as a company, I think God is going to take his hand off of our company. And I never have wrote him back. I'll probably get to talk to him for maybe a second the week after next. I'm going to ask him. I say, hey, you know, ever since we did that, what has happened? Our market share has gone down. Our stock price has gone down. We've been in trouble as a company. You don't tell me that God doesn't punish sin, not only in people, but in companies. And we ought to take a stand and say, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. We are not going to march to your agenda. We are not going to teach our kids that it's an okay kind of lifestyle. In some of the public schools, you need to be careful. In some of the public schools, they are being forced to offer a class that says a homosexual lifestyle is okay. I'm serious. It's happening today, and we need to know that it's going on. So, all we're doing is taking the world that's upside down and trying to put it back the way it's supposed to be. Let's get our marriages back to where God intended for them to be. Love your spouse. Love your husband. Love your wife. Be committed. Live to your vows. You made promises, live to those promises. You're going to have disagreements? Yes. You're going to have fights and fusses? Yes. You're going to have trials and tribulations? Yes. But you promise God that you would be married as husband and wife till death do you part. Keep that promise. And again, don't It's sort of like Angie's testimony about her Coke. Don't go places where you're going to be tempted. Huh? Don't go places where you're going to be tempted. Just stay at home. Stay at home. Don't go looking. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. And by the way, I'll just say it tonight since I'm... stay off the internet. Pornography destroys more marriages than anything else. And it is a sin. And now people say, well, I do it in the privacy of my home. Nobody knows. God knows. And it will affect you when you don't realize it's affecting you. Just, I mean, if you have a problem with that, take your computer and get a sledgehammer and put the sledgehammer through the computer. I believe that if you can't control something, you ought to get away from it and not expose yourself to it. And if you have a problem with that, just get your computer and throw it in the garbage. Say, oh, I'll miss all the stuff that's on the computer. Yeah, we'll miss that sin too. And by the way, you ought to just take your TV and throw it in the same pile and take the sledgehammer to it at the same time. While I'm going tonight, I'll just hit everything. We are dumb. I mean, we are dumb. I mean, we got a couple guys here tonight trying to quit smoking. Praise the Lord. Still going? Still going? All right, still going. It would be dumb for them, these two guys, trying to quit smoking if they kept a pack of cigarettes in their nightstand. Huh? It'd be dumb. Why would you do that? Oh, I got an urge. I'll just open the drawer and get one. No, that's stupid. They ought to throw them all out, flush them all down the toilet, burn them all up, so that if they get an urge in the middle of the night, they got to get up, get dressed, get in their car, find a store that's opened to get one. They ought to make it hard for themselves. And if you have a problem keeping your eyes on your wife and your wife only, then take everything out of your life that's a problem. Get rid of it. Just throw it away. You say, and I know, I talked to a guy a couple weeks ago that's fighting this thing. I said, have you still got your computer? He said, yeah, I do. I said, why? Why would you keep your computer? Isn't that where you look at it? He said, yes, it is. I said, throw it away. I'll come over and get it. I mean, I'll help you. I'll throw it in the garbage for you. We'll take it down. We'll take it outside. And I'll take the sledgehammer to it for you. He didn't take me up on it yet, but I'm still working on it. Don't, look, Satan tempts us enough. Don't tempt yourself. So let's get our marriage back to where it needs to be. And let's make loving our neighbor what it should be. The second commandment. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Don't look at somebody that's different from you. Don't look at somebody that has a different that was brought up a different way and say, well, when they start loving me, I'll start loving them. That's why there's so much hate in the world today. I'm glad Jesus didn't wait to start loving us till we started loving him, aren't you? Huh? We need to love people. And then we need to tell people how to get their lives right. God did not make us to live apart from him. We were made by him to fellowship with him. We were made to have a relationship with him. So we need to go and we need to tell people that sin is what breaks up that relationship. And that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he paid for every sin of every sinner. And if they'll come to Jesus and receive him, he'll save them. And he'll give them that relationship back. I don't know how people that don't have Jesus and don't have God in their life, I don't know how they make it in this world. I don't. I don't know how they go through what they have to go through. I don't know how they face what they have to face without having a relationship with God. If you're here today, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to fix it tonight. You need to fill that empty spot in your life tonight. You need to ask Jesus to be your Savior tonight. So, number one, the world's upside down already. To turn it upside down is just to get it back the way God wants it to be. Number three, let's get at it. Let's get at it. Let's start right now. Sunday school lesson this morning for the primaries, we were talking about when Jesus took the disciple up on the Mount of Olives and said his final words to him and then was taken up in that cloud to heaven. And disciples were standing there. And I had the kids look up, and some of them, you know, sort of opened their mouth, looked up. I'm sure the disciples did that as they looked up. But then there were two angels that stood by him and said, "Why are you looking up? The same Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. Maybe tonight. Maybe tomorrow. I think it's sooner than it's, I think it's closer than it's ever been. Closer than it's ever been." And so if we're going to get this world back to the way that God made it to be, we need to get started. You know what the best way to get started? It's not try to pass laws against abortion. It's not try to put the homosexuals back in the closet. You know what the best way to get started? It's going out and telling men and women and boys and girls how to get saved. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them that Jesus is the one that can make the difference in their life. You see, we ought to love those, and we do. We ought to love the homosexuals. Hate the sin, but love the homosexuals. We ought to love those that have taken part in abortions and perform abortions. Hate the sin, but love them. You see, when Jesus died on Calvary, he died for everybody. Died for everybody. He died for that person that's involved in pornography. He died for that doctor that performs abortions. He died for that homosexual. It's all sin. It's all sin. He died for every single one of them. If you're here tonight and you've never received him, then you need to do it tonight. Today's the day. Now is the accepted time. You come. You ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Sometimes it rebukes us. Sometimes we need it. And I pray tonight, Father, that we would be a people that the world would say, "Oh boy, here comes those Christians. Things are going to change. People are going to get saved. They're going to start living right." And I pray, Father, we'd have that testimony about us just like Paul and Silas did. I pray our church would have that testimony about us just like the church in Jerusalem did. I pray we'd be busy. Every person we'd meet, we'd tell them about Jesus. Best way to change the homosexual is to get them saved. Best way to change the abortionist, get them saved. Best way to change the person that's involved in pornography is to get them saved. And then get them living for you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that tonight you'd speak to our hearts, you'd do in our hearts tonight what only you can do. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.